Welcome to the Raw and Wild Hearts, a place where the raw, the unfiltered, the wild hearts gather to celebrate triumphs and hardships, learn from each other, grow together, and break down a culture rooted in fear. We will talk, we will laugh, and we will lean on each other about everyday life experiences that we could all use a little support through, and then we'll bask in the wild, magical beings that we are. My philosophy is that by embracing the dark, we may just let in the light. I am your host, Lori Rising, healer, educator, writer, adventurer, retreat leader, birth defender, and animal enthusiast and activist, along with my wild heart sidekick kitty, Jesus the Brave. We'd like to invite you to get excited about the Wild Heart Revolution. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. It's big. It's huge. It's perfect for taking us into the upcoming energies of winter solstice and the age of Aquarius. But of course, it's perfect for your soul to hear at the exact point that you're listening. It's the second in my van life series, and they are both in a row. Yep, I am dropping into this energy of connection to the land and exponentially deeper into my soul, my humanity, and my divine purpose in this human experience at this powerful time as I, too, move into full-time van life. I'm in a complete rebirth, and there is so much more to come with that. So if my wild heart revolution is resonating with you, buckle up, y'all, because we are just getting started. Stay tuned for my online digital courses, affirmation recordings, my life-changing retreats to return in 2021, and as always, amazing podcast episodes with soulfully picked guests. I do have my Living Pain-Free 5-week challenge available when you sign up for my email newsletter, along with a free e-guide to living in your beautiful wild heart. As always, the link is in the show notes below. Today, Candace Love and I go very soul deep. We have such a profound exchange about some of the pivotal moments in Candace's life that laid the path toward her soul growth journey, how relationship can be our very best teacher and mirror in many ways, and embracing our deepest shadow work that allows for the greatest light. We also get into how Candace is staying present and conscious during her current relationship that's unfolding, the life-changing lessons her dog kid Cleo brought, and the power in creation in this world and the heavens. Finally, I surprised Candace with a request to hear her angelic voice, even if it was just for a couple of notes. And guess what, y'all? She delivers, literally bringing heavens into earth by calling in loving spirits from each of our lives. You do not want to miss that. She brings us into her world of dedicated personal and soul growth in such a loving and vulnerable way. We met soul to soul, and I hope it translates out to you in the airwaves. The light that we created in this conversation is tangible, it's magnificent, and it's majestic. This is the divinity of humans, magical friends. I was buzzing with energy throughout our soul conversation, and I'm buzzing now after hearing it again. Candace has given us a very comprehensive PDF of personal questions she uses for self-reflection and soul growth that you can get in my email newsletters as well, link below. Real quick, let me just talk about some sponsors. If you're resonating with my Wild Heart Revolution, any way you can support my small business is so appreciated. Leaving a star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, hitting that subscribe button, liking and sharing my posts or the podcast are all free and easy ways to support me and any other person in your community that is working to bring healing to this planet through their soul mission and their purpose in life. I also have a Patreon page. Anywhere from $3 to $15 a month supports me and gives you some fun content. Actually, I have a clip from this conversation all queued up for the $5 or more monthly subscribers. And again, the link is below in the show notes. And let's talk about BetterHelp. That's Better H-E-L-P, an online platform for professional talk therapy. It's easy, affordable, flexible, and aligned. They will match you up based on your needs. And it's super easy and free to change therapists if you're not resonating with your match. I'm telling you, my telehealth online therapy has been one of the biggest tools to flowing with external situations and environments and for soul growth. As a Wildheart Warrior, you will get 10% off your first month through my link at www.betterhelp.com/rawandwildhearts. But honestly, if you need extra help, they do offer financial aid. It's their mission to make professional counseling affordable and accessible. Just let them know that you want to go through the Raw and Wild Hearts link to support the show as well. And you know what I'm about to say here. The link is below in the show notes. Okay, y'all, on to today's episode and into the heavens. Candace Love is a soul traveler that navigates the world with intentions to grow in all spaces that will honor her soul and source. She is currently and happily on the journey to becoming nobody, shedding identities, and having a beautiful time doing it. You can view more of her travel journey, healing, and growth experiences on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at candace.love. Please welcome Candace Love. Hello, Candace. Thank you for joining the Wild Heart Revolution.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful.
Oh, me too. This is going to be amazing. I do like to start with a toast or a prayer to the Wild Heart Warriors in our light, especially our dark, and in all of our magic and glory. May we continue to elevate consciousness through honesty, humor, humility, gentle care, soul-wrenching growth, and ownership. And to us, and to living in integrity, intention, and love while creating laughter along the way.
Yes. Beautiful. Jeez Louise, did you write that?
I did.
Beautiful. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. You are absolutely beautiful. You radiate just joy and light. And I'm so grateful that you said yes and that we're here talking.
I'm grateful.
Yeah, especially today because number one, it's Veterans Day and I want to thank you and honor you for your service. You were in the military. We'll get to that in a second. And also it's the 1111 portal, which is a really big energy portal where we have the chance and ability to gain some really deep wisdom from our ancestors and our star family and our galactic family. So it's a really big day. And today is the day that I found out that you were in the military. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I joined the military when I was about 18 or 19. And basically, I was just going through a really difficult time as a teenager, like my first depression. And I needed an outlet. I couldn't figure out how to heal myself from it. And the only thing that I knew how to do was to detach and possibly, you know, in a sense, run and try to find something better. And that's what it gave me. It gave me an opportunity to have discipline, to be able to believe in myself, to be able to form a relationship with myself that I was seeking validation for in other relationships. So me and the military have, you know, a very strong bond. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really deep. I mean, you know, I assume you probably gained that more and more the further away you got from your career in the military, like really seeing what it did for you and the kind of foundation that it gave you. But that's really incredible to even just move towards it in that way, in that kind of spiritual way.
Yeah. And initially I think what I was subconsciously seeking was love from a community, even though I had that. But, you know, you can have those things and just not see them. Mm-hmm. And it just really filled or it nurtured a lot of the voice that I had as a young girl. And so as I got older, you know, it just didn't resonate with my spirit anymore. But, you know, in each phase of my life, I get exactly what I need. And then as my journey continues, it's time for me to do the same.
I love that. Adaptability and transformation are something that are so innate in us as humans, but they've been learned out of us through this culture.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's really a space within us that we have to remember to connect back to, like really like a muscle that we have to train all over again.
Right. In my Instagram post, I've been, every time I say remember, I say R-E dash. Like there's something about that that tells me like it's remember, like we already know this, right?
Yep. Learning again, remembering again.
Yeah. How many years were you in the military?
I was in the military about 10 years.
Oh, wow. That's a big career.
Yeah. So I started off and then around, I can't remember what year, but eventually I went to being a part-time military and then going into policing full-time. So I had those careers that were intermingling. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know you as a van lifer. So this is amazing to
thing. Yeah. So I actually ended my full-time policing career last year. Last year I started teaching criminal justice. So I'm still part-time, but they allow me to utilize, you know, who I truly am as opposed to the officer. I get to go in and help with meditation or counseling or just bringing my light to the force as opposed to, you know, the other things that I would have to do. So yeah, I did policing for like 6 years.
Wow. I mean, my spirit is blown right now.
I mean,
the light worker that you are, like, of course, we don't usually, you know, and this is the problem when we get in our boxes, we don't associate that kind of like deep soul ascension light work that you just emanate with such a strict boundaried profession, right?
Yeah. yeah, it took me some time, you know, when people see me, they're like, I would have never thought. And then, you know, just recently, you know, everything happens in phases with van life. What started coming up for me is safety. And I realized and just kind of owned the fact that I had never felt safe before and really doing that inner work. And then also going back and realizing that it would make sense that I would manifest careers from the time I was 18 in having to carry around a weapon, literally working in fields of safety and security, almost a subconscious way to try to make myself feel safe and secure and protected. So those careers never were a reflection of who I was, maybe subconsciously of what I needed at the time. Wow. And then when I realized that I didn't need that anymore, I allowed myself to shed that programming. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So reflecting back on that now, do you feel like it actually did that job? It made you feel safer being in that career and having that environment around you?
I think for the person that I was at that time, it made me feel safe. You know, having to, or not having to, but enjoying carrying a weapon and things like that. In that programming that I was in, it did make me feel safe. But in this new phase of Candace that I am, those things do not make me feel safe at all. And so it forced me, now that I'm in a new phase of myself, it forced me to have to rely on something higher, more spiritual, to find that safety and that security and to remind myself that I am safe, I am protected, I am secure everywhere that I go. And having a weapon on me or having a certain career is not what is going to supply that safety. So yeah, it served its purpose for that time, but no longer I have to rely on the unseen in this time.
Yeah, interesting. So like I touched on a little bit earlier, the way that I kind of came into connection with you was through van life, because I've always been kind of a part-timer, and now I got my van and I'm about to do a conversion on it and then go into full-time. So I kind of started diving into the community, and you came up through, I think it was Diversify Van Life. Have you been featured on there before?
Yeah, Diversify Van Life. We have a very good relationship.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I love that page. And you, I mean, I'm just going to gush about you for a second, because there's so much goodness happening here. You, first of all, you're always in the heat and you have very little clothes on, and that is my jam, right? Like, I'm like, yes, as soon as summer comes in, I have like the teeniest little clothes and it's comfortable, right? And so I love that you have an animal kid. You've got your little dog companion, Cleo, and you're hilarious. You are like, you're throwing down the wisdom bombs and the light work and the soul ascension, and then you're like topping it off with a hilarious joke right at the end. I mean, the way that you talk with Cleo and about Cleo, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's the joy in life that we're looking for. So those are just a few of the things that connected me with you, among many others. And so now hearing about this evolution of yourself is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been a journey for sure. For sure. Yes.
So with the van life, did that come in? How many years have you been, have you had your van?
I got my van in December.
Oh, okay. So recently.
Yeah, this is very recent. So my mom actually purchased the van for me for as a Christmas gift.
Nice.
Yeah, right. And I'm an only child too, so.
That's a great gift, Mom.
Great gift. And she really was just like, you know, I want you to do whatever you have to do to really enjoy your life. And she knows that I love to travel as well. But so I got the van in December, and then I had been looking for places, companies to renovate the van, and the pricing was just out of this world.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I sat down with the first company, and I told him the basics, like the bare minimum of what I wanted. I was like, because they can do the big things, I'll do the smaller things. And he still slid over a pad that said $80,000. I was like, how do I just back out of here and go back home?
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Yep. And then the other people that I would meet, when it went from like 80 to 50, and you know, finally I found someone where it went down to 10,000, and I was like, I don't think I can do this myself at this point. But I ended up having someone at my home who actually built my shelves and put my shelves in right here. And my mom was like, well, why don't you just ask him, you know, could he renovate your van? If you think about it, he's a carpenter. He's doing the same thing. He's just doing it in a van. And I asked him, and I showed him some pictures, you know, of the van life. And he was like, yeah, I can do that. And so in June, he built the van out in like 2.5 weeks. And then Cleo and I, we set off on the road.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So just let me check real quick, because I'm in this situation right now. He did it in 2.5 weeks for less than 10 grand.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. He did it for an amount that I'm almost even embarrassed to say. Yes. I think initially what I think happened is he just wasn't aware of the amount of work it would take to actually do it. And so in the middle, I saw that he was still honoring his price. Cleo, he was still honoring his price, but it was taking a lot out of him. So I was like, hey, do you want to renegotiate? And I knew he wouldn't go up much, but I still wanted to honor him because he was doing a lot of work. But yes, he did it for less than $5,000.
Wow.
Including the materials, everything.
Whoa. I'm floored right now.
Yeah.
And a little pained. My heart hurts.
Oh, I know. And he's a very honest guy. He's an honest carpenter. So he's going to take what he felt he deserved for his work. And even then, we still went up some more. But yeah, it was a blessing for sure.
Yeah, that's that living in integrity. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I really wanted to get into with you. I feel like so much of what you talk about is healthy boundaries and how we get into relationship with ourselves and out of the wounding of someone else, or out of the wounding of, you know, the interaction of relationships. And so that just really speaks to me, because it's our relationships throughout our life that can like put us so high and they can take us so low. But I think what we're realizing now is we're realizing it's not the relationship that's putting us high or taking us low. It's what we're emanating and the boundaries and what we're choosing to be in. So I wanted to read a quote from you, if that's okay.
Yeah. You have such a great interviewer. I would have never...
I'm so glad I can make you smile and laugh too, because you do it for me all the time.
This is exciting.
All right. Yes. Yes. Okay. Here we go. So something that you said, and then this is a part of a much bigger read. That's what I love about your post. I write a lot too, where it cuts me off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, so she said, sometimes there's purpose in the chaos, disagreements, and confusion that comes with relationships, friendships, and families. Sometimes there isn't supposed to be a resolution, a solution, or closure to a situation or with a person. Sometimes the ugliness is the space we are supposed to sit in and observe, maybe even feel the weight of that unsettling space when necessary. Yes.
Yeah, that piece actually came from a situation that I have or am still in the process of being present in with a family member that, you know, we just cannot get on one accord and love each other to life. I mean, favorite cousins, but, you know, just cannot get on one accord. And I was looking to have a conversation to find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And in the attempt to find a solution, more trauma came up, more, you know, just friction and resistance came up. And after I got off the phone and spoke with someone that's close to me, I just realized, why am I trying to control this situation? Why am I trying to control this relationship? Why do I feel the need to control the outcome? Why am I so uncomfortable in being in the resistance? Why am I so uncomfortable in not having a solution? It's because it's forcing me to release control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. We want to be, okay, this is someone that I love. I want to be on great terms. And sometimes the lesson isn't in the great terms. The lesson is in the confusion and the chaos and the pain and the trauma. And sometimes it's our job to sit in it and wait for that lesson to reveal itself as opposed to forcing it to come to a close so we can hurry up and feel better. So yeah, that's where that piece came from.
Yeah, and I think that's so important because we're actually in this really fantastic shift in that place now because we are coming from a wounded masculine culture where, you know, it's about competition, lack of scarcity, right? We've been kind of running on empty in that lane for a really long time. And so being in that kind of place in a relationship can create such anxiety for us and we just want it to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about it before our talk because I knew we were going to get into this and I was like, okay, so the lack of control, what is it? You know, we can usually trace it back to fear.
For sure.
And I think it comes down to fear of judgment, right? Because you're thinking you want to feel like you were complete in the situation. Like you want to get your point across, right? You want to feel like they understand you.
Yeah. And I think too, it's just in relationships, it's easy to forget that whatever is happening with the other person, remembering that they are a complete reflection. And they are not there to make us feel uncomfortable, to make us have anxiety, to make us angry or anything like that. They're simply there to just hold the mirror to ourselves. And that's why I love the quote, all roads lead me back to me. Because even though there's resistance in this relationship, what it's mm-hmm. really showing me is there's resistance in myself that I'm projecting onto the relationship. I'm trying to force myself, you know, to not be in resistance by forcing the relationship to be what I want it to be. And it's just not realistic. When I could go back within, figure out what's coming up for me, why is it coming up for me? Because the more centered I am in myself, the more I understand why I'm responding the way I'm responding, everything the other person does will make complete sense.
Right.
Yeah.
We've had great opportunities recently with all of the energetic openings to get out of our own wounding and karma, right? So these are like karmic loops that we've been playing out, and that's the mirror of the relationship. So we keep getting in relationships that play out these karmic loops that we're kind of running on empty in continually. And then it's like, wait a second, I'm going to choose not to engage in this loop anymore. How do I do that? And it's really about coming back to me and that centeredness and groundedness that you're always talking about so eloquently. So that you're not, out here, out in this field, anxious about what's happening out there, but you're in the balance of yourself, especially the balance of the divine feminine and sacred masculine.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's this song by, I'm going to forget his name, but his last name is Mick Reynolds, but it's called Cycles. And basically what he's saying is, it doesn't take much for us to become distracted from what the true purpose is, the true basis of what we should be focused on. And if we talk about positive energy versus negative energy, just to give it a name, as opposed to God and the devil, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we say, you know, the negative energy, we'll say, you know what? It's easy for her to get distracted in relationships or whatever that name is. So I'm just going to give her a relationship because she'll completely forget about herself. She'll completely forget to focus on her center. She'll completely forget to focus on what heals her. She'll completely forget to focus on all of the things that matter as far as honoring her soul. Let me give her the relationship to put her in that cycle. And we'll see if she chooses to find the lesson and come back home to self. And so we find those relationships, those jobs, those all of those things that keep us distracted, but also bring us addictions. They bring us the negative energy that make us question ourselves, question everything around us, but it's just another cycle of energy that we just kind of forget to step out of and observe instead of, you know, just being enclosed in it, when we can step out of it, observe it, and then come back home to ourselves and recenter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the culture around us can contribute to that. You know, the images that we see as little girls of, you know, and even just the feeling of being in a culture of lack, right? Where we're not taking care of everyone, you know, we're not feeling taken care of, we're not feeling supported, and we're not supporting everyone. Like, that's the reality. If we're coming from that place, then we're in a lack of. And that can be lack of ourselves or lack of love. I mean, there's so much wounding that can go into this that can be created around us as well. And it's a constant message that's coming in when we're young.
Yeah.
I really want to like get a hold of all little ones and especially little girls so that we can be building them up in all of their power and beauty and, you know, their amazing energy and everything that they are. And we stop creating this idea of like, the thing that will complete you is the relationship. The thing that will complete you is the person out there that you're on the constant search for.
You believe that they programmed us from kids to seek a Prince Charming, have a beautiful wedding, and that would, and a beautiful family, and that would fulfill us.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are not trained for that at all. But we are trained from little kids. I mean, seeking the type of wedding dress we want at a young age and have no idea. And then have to undo that programming. It takes years to undo a programming like that.
Totally agreed. I feel like I finally just got out of it recently. And I'm still, I've been single, you know, pretty much most of my life. I've been on and off in relationships and I'm fiercely independent. Mm-hmm. And I still was always feeling the lack of like, oh, why isn't somebody want me? Like, why does everybody else have relationships? But finally, like being able to step out of that wounding and that karmic loop of telling myself that over and over, it was just so beautiful and it's so empowering.
Yeah, that freedom, that's a freedom that you've given yourself, because the other I see as personal prison, and that does not exist. Like, that is not realistic what they've trained us to aspire to. It's just not a realistic reality. And some people will create that reality just so they can live in that program. I commend you for breaking that. Even now, as I am, you know, entertaining someone that I'm interested in, both of us constantly being mindful of the programs. Like, no, we don't have to do it that way. We can make our own rules. We can decide what works for us today. And if it doesn't today, we can change our minds tomorrow. You know, what a relationship actually looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. having the control to change our minds. That's a lot of freedom in that. And typically that freedom isn't given. It's just, it's this way. And if not, you know, you are not going by the societal norm.
Yeah. I mean, we're really stepping out of the linear culture and it feels so beautiful. We're moving into like spiral living. Yeah. And this is where every day we're starting to get answers from everywhere, right? We're getting messages from everywhere. We're getting downloads from everywhere. And it's no longer just what's right in front of us, right? The A plus B equals C. That's not happening anymore. And so I think this is what's so beautiful about what's happening in relationships. And this is why a lot of long-term relationships are ending right now, because we're coming to the end of those karmic loops. We're like, no more. And now we're understanding. I was just telling somebody, I was like, why do you feel like you have to stay in this relationship? Like, go ahead and move out. It doesn't mean it has to end. This might mean that you just grow exponentially as people, and you don't have to look, it doesn't have to look like a cookie cutter relationship. You don't have to be in the same house. You don't have to be doing that.
You sure don't. You know, I remember when I was younger, my great aunt, and we would go down to her town and visit her, and I'd be like, where's your husband? And she's like, oh, he's at his house. I'm like, what do you mean he's at his house? Yeah, he lives down the street. And I could not understand that for the life of me. I'm like, he lives down the street. Why doesn't he live here with you? Now that I'm older, I definitely understand. They made their own rules. They did what was best for them. They couldn't live together. And they didn't have to. They could visit each other down the street whenever they got ready. They came up with their own idea of what a relationship looked like for them. And they did not step out of that boundary because they knew, you know? So, yeah.
What a wonderful example.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, we really use relationships as crutches as opposed to vehicles of growth, which is really what I believe, you know, they're for. And a lot of people don't like that, but I do believe that relationships are vehicles to get us to our next level of growth. And when they're no longer teaching us is when things start to get very difficult. We are staying in something that was meant to continue moving past. So I definitely am very mindful when it comes to those types of relationships.
I love that. This is something I've been saying my whole life. And it's like, I was so frustrated because I wanted everyone to understand it, right? And there's that like, that control. But I was always saying, so relationships most of the time aren't for forever. They're not meant to be forever, right? And we created this like image that you get married and you stay together forever, no matter how much you sacrifice yourself. So we were in this like sacrificial living.
Yeah.
We would just, it was like, doesn't matter how miserable you are, you stay no matter what. That, just listen to those words. How does that vibrate in your soul when you hear that?
Yeah.
What if we taught kids, you know, when they're young, that relationships are there as a tool, as a teacher, as a guide, and most of them won't be for forever. Some of them will. Some of them will stay through your human experience, but that is not the norm. And then when it's done, it's so much easier to cycle out of it because you're not in fear, right? So no one's pushing or pulling, and you're both opening up to this space because there's no expectation of forever. That creates such a fear for people.
Yes, it does. It completely takes their control away. A lot of people don't know how to operate in that space of just knowing that, okay, I don't really know why you're here. Like, what's the bigger picture why you're here? I want someone that's intentional. Like, I want to be married, you know? And when all of that's taken off the table, and it's like, let's just enjoy each other. You know, let me love you. Let me give you what you need in this moment. Like, you may need a certain void that needs to be nurtured. If I have that in me, allow me to give that to you without you trying to put a date on how long it has to last.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm no longer to have that energy exchange, because that's all a relationship is. Once the energy is no longer exchanging, it's okay for us to move forward on our separate paths. Like, paths cross, But you have to continue on yours, and I have to continue on mine, and that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. And just allow things to unfold how they're supposed to unfold. But that is pretty difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think especially with all of the deep changes we've been going through this year, things that I've noticed are we're engaging more in our adaptability, but also our curiosity. And I think that the more that you drop into both of those, the more you can thrive and be in that spiral living, right? With whatever is coming or going or happening or not happening, you know what I mean? And so when you enter into a relationship out of curiosity, then that gives you more of a self-reflection in it and like, oh, well, let's see how this goes down. Like, how is this going to unfold? And just be in the moments of that unfolding.
Yeah.
And it feels like you have really honed into that. Just based on what I read in your posts, it feels like that is something that's intentionally moving through your spirit.
Yeah, you know, really giving myself the permission to embody what I think freedom means for me on a personal level and on a relationship level. And so I've said for a very long time that if there's no purpose, if the relationship isn't grounded in growth, not growth as a unit, but growth of individual people, individual beings, individual souls. I have my own separate purpose. And at the time, our parallels, you know, may mirror each other, but just making it known and being very firm, but within from a place of love that this is my journey. You just happened to cross paths with me at the time. And it's difficult, you know, finding people who understand that and allow me to be free, because it's an experience, you know, and I want to experience all things. I want to experience the good. I want to experience the bad. And I want to experience all the things that come from a relationship or a partnership, but it still has to be a basis of personal growth. And if it's not based in there, it's something I just cannot participate in.
I love that. Best motto ever. I mean, seriously, like, is this something that comes up for you night one? Like when you're first connecting, are you connecting soul to soul in that moment? And you're like, we're going to speak from our souls here.
You know what? Before, I had never met a person, you know, when you speak to someone the first time, you can gauge how deep you can go. And typically, you know, it's rare that you meet someone that you can go as deep as you need to actually see them. Typically, you can only see people after an argument, a disagreement. And so with this particular person, first conversation, we were able to, you know, see each other. And from there, you know, there was a lot of honesty and a lot of just being very transparent on, you know, where we were in each other's lives in individual spaces and giving each other permission to be free in that space without trying to force expectations, outcomes, and control. Yeah. So it's definitely a new space because, like I said, it's rare that you meet people who want to meet you at that level.
And when that happens, especially so quickly, that develops trust. When we trust, we relax.
Yeah. And the truest version of you is able to come out and express itself and explore the truest version of Candace. Words that I would never say, laughs that I've never heard before. You know, just things that I would have never done before, felt comfortable to do before, are now emerging. So it's still not about the relationship. It's about the fact that this person was able to help me unlock different parts of myself to where now I can meet different versions of myself. And it's still not about him. And I acknowledge that I do for him as well. And it's still intentional growth. And I think that's so beautiful because we're both like, whoa, I just met a whole new part of myself. Let me stop talking to you for a second and go into meditation and have a moment with this version of myself. It's very beautiful. It's I've never felt anything like that before.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You are in it. You're in the flow.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful for sure.
Ooh, I can't wait till I'm in that flow too. But I will. Spirit hear me. I will wait. Like, that's the thing. I have, you know, divine timing has been gifting me throughout this past year in such a beautiful way that I could never resonate with it before. You know, when I was going through all this wounding and, you know, the difficulty and the darkness, I never really was able to stand back and actually see the unfolding of the beauty of divine timing.
Yeah, because just like you, I have been single for about, you know, maybe like 4 years, and not even off and on entertaining people. Like, I've never been that person who has, you know, was talking to a person here or getting to know a person there. It's always been years at a time, like just nothing, just me by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say divine timing, that's exactly what it is. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Ooh, yes. And, you know, I do notice us solo female van travelers, you know, we really have a penchant for soul growth and soul ascension. That work that we're doing out in nature, yep, that's the activation of our cells and our DNA. That we are an extension of that. I always think someone who ends up making that soul pairing with a solo female van lifer, woo, they've got some good, powerful stuff coming for them.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. For sure.
Yeah, but I want to take it one step further with relationships, because I read this on one of your Instagram quotes. Also, I only know you through Instagram, so that's what keeps coming up, right?
Yeah.
You wrote something so beautiful, and those of us, I've been in animal rescue work for 20 years, and, you know, I speak dog, and you talked about how you had been wanting Cleo, your 2-year-old animal kid, to be a certain way. And she wasn't being that certain way. So in that relationship, you ended up having such deep soul growth while learning to let Cleo be Cleo as a dog, because that relationship, we can try to control it in a whole different way.
Yeah, you know, Cleo, and I always say she was a horrible puppy. And I have to get out of saying that. But when I first got Cleo, she gave me hell. And so, actually, hold on. What's Cleo? Cleo. No, ma'am. She's drinking out of the toilet.
Oh, that was perfect divine timing, right? When you were saying that.
And the whole time you're speaking, I'm like, she's drinking out of the toilet. She's drinking out of the toilet. So, when I first got Cleo, before her, I had another German Shepherd. Her name was Sasha, and Sasha and I were like sisters. She was my angel, period. Mm. Like, no matter what I asked Sasha to do, she was right there, ready. Whatever you say, let's do it. She was so kind. She was just perfect. So I knew that when Cleo was coming in, and I was also battling an addiction with alcohol as well. So I knew when Cleo was coming in that she was going to help heal me and guide me, because I've always said that my animals are definitely my guides. Anytime I get a new animal, I know, or one shows up on my doorstep, because I've been rescuing animals my whole life too. Mm-hmm. So when an animal shows up on my doorstep, or I've been raising cats from birth, I know that I'm about to enter a new phase of my life, and this animal was brought here so I will have a healthy focus that will take away some of the pain that I was about to experience. So when Cleo came into my life, I just was like, okay, you know, I'm going to be able to love her. I'm going to nurture her. She's going to nurture me back. And, you know, she's going to be her mom. And this is going to be so exciting. And Cleo came in like, I ain't trying to hug. I ain't trying to do all of that. What's the job? What am I supposed to do? What's the job? And she didn't listen. She would bark at me. She would like that as a baby, like nip at me. I'm like, this dog is bad as hell. And so I took her to training, like professional training, because this is, I just had no control and I couldn't figure out why she was not like Sasha. And so I took her to professional training, spent all of this money, and she learned everything that they said. And then she would come home like, I know what you're saying, but I don't want to do that. And I'm like, girl, I just spent all this money on this training, you better sit down. And she would sit, but she would sit after like 2 minutes of me telling her to sit. So I'm like, okay, she understands. But there was a resistance. And I realized that she's not the problem. I'm the problem. She doesn't have the resistance. I have the resistance. She's picking up on my energy and she's the mirror and she's reflecting back to me who I am, what I look like, what I'm carrying, and what I'm trying to project onto her. And I don't remember what the actual situation that happened, but I think I may have been getting ready for work. And when my energy is all over the place, even now, if my energy is all over the place and then Cleo starts acting all loopy and stuff, I don't even get firm with her. I have to go back home within myself and figure out what energy am I putting out, because whatever it is, she's picking up. And at this time, she was still a puppy. And I was so frustrated. And the spark happened to where I was ready to take it out on her. And I just broke down crying because I realized I have to release the need to control her and tap back into myself and fix what is in resistance in me. It has nothing to do with her. She's perfect. She's doing exactly what she's supposed to do. She's a puppy. She's not supposed to want to sit. She's supposed to want to run and play and be mischievous and sneak and hide things. She's doing everything that she's supposed to do. Why do I feel the need to control that and change her to make her who I wanted her to be? It's not realistic. It's not okay. She's her own soul. She has her own. She's her own being. She came here for her own purpose, her own reasonings. And it's not, she's not mine to keep. So she's not mine to change. She came here perfect and in how she was. And so I had to do soul searching inside myself to figure out, why am I so unhappy with me? That instead of changing me, I have to look for somebody else to change. I have to look for a project. She became my project. I didn't want to focus on changing me because it would hurt so much. I didn't want to focus on healing my addiction because I would have to face all the pain. It was so much easier for me to focus on changing somebody else than meeting myself with that same energy and changing me. So she was the catalyst to all of my growth. Like, oh, nope, mom, you're the issue. It's not me.
Oh my gosh. What a beautiful download and message that you really got. Like, that's the depth of your soul message, right? When you can actually, because you were bringing her in to love you while you were going through your dark, right? Because she was supposed to cuddle you and like be all, you know, all the things that we want, that distraction, or we want that external stimulus to come and help us.
Yeah.
That happened to me with my, the rescue that I have. My, she's blind and epileptic. Mm-hmm. I brought her home and she had her first seizure. And I was like, well, I already have too much trauma. I can't have a cat that has seizures. You know what I mean? A lot was going on there, but I had to also go through a process of that. And it really came down to, I have to let her be her and give her, you know, create one of the best environments she's ever had for her. But I can't control that. And I can, but what I can do is I can feel that I've provided a really beautiful life for her, even if it's painful for me to watch her go through seizures.
Right.
Or it's painful for me because I might lose her very quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with her.
Right.
Everything to do with you and, you know, the fear. And same, like, I had a friend who reached out to me. She actually lives in Bali, and she got a puppy, and she's like, I let Bullet, he's like, oh, he's a baby, though. I let him off the leash, and he ran off with some cows, and, you know, I can't find him. How do I get him to stop running away? Like, how do I get him to listen, and how do I get him to do this? I'm like, where did you find Bali? I found him on the street as a baby. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was living his life. You captured him. Like, oh, I'm going to give him a great life. And he was doing what he wanted to do. He wants to run loose. Your job is to find a safe environment to where he can now run loose and just remember that he is not yours to have. Parents are not ours to keep. Children are not ours to keep, control, change. Nothing is ours to keep, control, and change. We just have to allow them to live their lives. And if you do have some control, you know, we want to keep our animals safe. Then now it's up to you to create an environment to where he can run as free as possible. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. You let go of the control. And she was like, I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that when we have this beautiful balance of divine feminine and sacred masculine within ourselves, which is coming online now in a way that we've never had before, when we're coming from such a place of balance and centeredness, we no longer are looking for an external situation to make us feel better. And that's like that, it feels like it's an unconscious living that we've kind of been in for a while. And that's why in the prayer I said for you, because I create something unique for whoever I'm talking with. And for you, it said living in intention, integrity, and love and laughter, because I feel like you emanate all of those through your words, through your post. I mean, it's not just words, like you can feel it from you. That's the great shift that's happening, is as we're moving into the age of Aquarius coming up here on winter solstice, we're coming into a place of sovereignty, of knowledge within ourselves, no longer looking for that external faith or belief or something else is going to take care of it for us. Like, it's in here. We have to find it within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true.
And I meant to say something about this, because you're almost three years sober, and you just mentioned that. So is that something that you feel like has been a catalyst to a lot of your soul ascension work? It was like Cleo came, sobriety came, and probably the darkness came, I assume, which is where we, you know, in our shadow is where we make the most growth and learn the most about ourselves.
Yeah, you know, so where the bulk of my transformation came from was through pain in relationships. So about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, just experiencing a, you know, just back-to-back horrible relationships where I completely lost myself. That was the catalyst. And so even from there, I knew two things. I already knew I would have to stop drinking to ascend into the next level of my being. And I would also have to acquire an eating regimen that was typically fruit. I already knew. And that was just based on the fact that my being just does not thrive in certain environments with certain foods and certain energies. And so the relationship was the catalyst. The addiction was just another level of darkness that I knew I would have to get through. And it was another energy that I would have to come face to face with, which was more of a ancestral energy, more so than it was mine, probably an energy that was given to me, which I actually don't doubt at all. And so I had to come to terms with that ancestral energy. I just didn't have the tools yet. And so through the relationship that was very toxic, I was gaining tools to learn myself, gaining tools to transmute energy, gaining tools to learn about energy. And once I picked up all the tools that I needed, and it was, I had enough power within myself to actually face these energies head on, these ancestral energies, ancestral beings, right? That all ancestors aren't the best ancestors. And so I had to really have firm talks with that energy that I was carrying. And so that was just one aspect of it. But the hardest part was just shedding Candace. All of the ideas of who Candace was, just really shedding the personality allowing myself to really become nobody. Those were the parts that were helping me with my ascension the most.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. I feel like we go through so many deaths of ourselves throughout our lives, you know, in this human form and other lives, if you believe in parallel lives or if that speaks to you. And that's part of that karmic wounding and those loops and that kind of those records that keep playing. But those records can come down through generations of people before us. And if you imagine the fear and trauma that they may have had in their cells that they're passing on without ever having the tools to ascend and move through those traumas and heal them within their cells, there, that's all getting passed on with intergenerational trauma.
Yeah, there's this documentary called, there's one called Healed, and then there's another one called Emotion 2.0. And I can't remember which documentary it came from, but they did, I think it was Emotion 2.0. And they did a study with some lab mice. And so they trained the mice to be afraid of cherry blossom flowers. And so whenever the mouse would go to the cherry blossom flower, it would shock the mouse to where it would be afraid of it. And so they just kept doing this until the mouse had offspring. And they would train the mouse to go near the cherry blossom and the mouse would not do it. And so what it showed was that even the offspring without the shock mechanism was still afraid of a cherry blossom that it had never been introduced from. And that energy just being metaphysically carried through the mother. And that is science to show that our ancestors, all of the pain that they felt, the trauma they felt, the things they did not have the tools to transcend, are all being passed through our veins, our DNA, our cellular makeup, our metaphysical makeup, our soul. All of these things are just embedded in who we are. And so, as I had my spiritual awakening, I was very clear on the fact that I was going through these pains and I was learning these lessons, because at one point I would have enough power to transmute the energetic trauma that my ancestors had passed along to me.
Yeah. And even us getting those messages and understanding that at this point, you know, in our human development, being able to access what is stored in our cells and, you know, having the tools now for the growth is so incredible. I just actually went through a generational, like, unbelievable astral travel that I just did, and did some deep healing on my womb. Literally, I've never felt my womb in the way that I felt it in that space. And I understood that I was healing generations of women before me of the trauma that had come through their wombs and came to me. And my daughter was stillborn about 14 years ago. And I had a realization that I'm surprised I'm saying right here, but that she never planned to stay. She was actually the end. Like, I was supposed to be the end of this kind of trauma going through our generations. And that's why she had always not planned to be in human form. She came in to spark this journey for me, this 14, 15 year journey for me to end up where I just did, having my womb healing.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, it is big stuff right now.
Ooh.
And that's the thing, isn't it? So it's so magical. I don't even feel like words describe it.
I felt her, and I felt that intention and that message and that healing that you were able to supply for everyone in your lineage, and for her to have the power to say, no, we're good. We can stop here.
Mm.
Ooh, that's so beautiful. Oh my goodness. That's what it's all about right there. Jeez, that's awesome. So happy for you.
Thank you.
That's such a gift.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're going to back me up on this, but this didn't come easily. Like, this is years of intentional work. This is years of intentional growth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even also to just be able to hear that was the download that you were meant to get from it. Because imagine how many other people are have those experiences, but they choose a different perspective. Mm-hmm. The pain and the trauma is so prevalent that they can't hear what the real message is. And so for you to be able to actually hear, receive, and know that to be your message, that's powerful.
I know it's, and that's like the divinity that we are, right? I feel like since I came into this world, that's been my thing, is like my trajectory of like, I want us to be magic because we are magic. I want to get out of the culture of fear. I want to get out of the, you know, the cultural expectations and get back to what we were meant to embody. The embodiment of a human is so magical. But when we don't have our basic needs met, when there's not justice in the world and equality in the world, then we don't have the space to access that beautiful divinity within us because we're trying to survive.
Right. Yeah. And even, you know, that's a part of the process, and it's a part of the human experience. And I think that's probably one of the toughest things at one phase it was difficult for me to acknowledge, is it's all a part of the human experience. It's just like the hugest mystery, the hugest gain, and really accepting all of that being a part of the mystery, like all spectrums, that masculine, the feminine, the yin and the yang, the God, the devil, the positive, the negative, all having to be relevant for us to have the truest human experience. It's just God experiencing God through us. It's just all of it. It's just all working together, even when it's not. It is. Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like I've gone from saying, let go and let God, right? I feel like that's another way of me talking about surrendering. It's not surrendering, giving up. It's surrendering to the divinity within ourselves. So now I started saying, let go and let God within.
Yep, that's it. Let go and let God within. Yep. Still being in a state of power. It's still acknowledging the power around us, all of the forces that be. And it's also acknowledging that no matter what we do, it's already still perfect. Yeah.
I love that. And the last thing I was going to touch on that we were talking about, something that I think is so important to remember, is that what we emanate, the energy that we put out, is actually one of the best ways that we create a more loving world. When we try to just do this through language, it's limited, mm-hmm. right? But when we make those deep internal shifts, and it's literally the energy that is pouring out of us and people are feeling it, this is what I think is so important, is that our senses are our communication. It's not just our language. Sure. And so right now, as we're creating, hopefully, a better space, a new earth, all of the things that we have the ability to shift right now, I hope that we're doing it through this deep ascension work and soul growth, because the more that we go within, the more that it comes without.
Yeah, that's very true. I was actually speaking to the guy that I'm dating at the moment, and something he shared with me like today on the way home. And it was to the effect of, whenever you participate in a deep love, a deep passion, a deep transparency, a deep genuineness with yourself, with other people, with your soul, with your art, that you are literally creating new worlds, new dimensions, birthing angels, birthing galaxies, birthing all of these things, not just present in this reality, but in the ethos, in the universe. All of these things, just from this conversation that we're having, how many angels were actually birthed, how many beings that have been birthed that are not even meant to transcend to this reality, or that are just supposed to be you and I's angel, and we're just birthing them and giving them space, giving them reason to be, to protect us in this moment, to be present for this conversation. And so even outside of this, in our regular lives, if we are really embodying our truest power, embodying our divinity, and embodying the power from our soul, we are really creating literally new worlds that may not be visible to our eyes, but we go there when we go to sleep, when we dream, we have those experiences in the worlds that we have created on a daily basis. So the work is being done here, but it's also being done in the realities that we can't even see.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because there is so much happening in the heavens and here, and we're actually understanding more and more of what is happening up there as these portals open and the veil is thinner and thinner. I mean, we are moving into, basically we're making galactic history. So the more that we do this, the more that we have these conversations, the quicker and the deeper it opens for us, like literally the heavens open for us. And that, and you know what comes with that? Manifestation, soul pairings, deep loves, unconditional love. No matter what someone else's view is, we're meeting soul to soul, and we're no longer in this three-dimensional limited view that has been permeating for a long time.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, two more things. Does he have a brother? Real important question here.
Very important question. No, but if he did, I would definitely ask, you know?
And number two, I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit here. Okay. This, I mean, I am feeling like I'm literally like buzzing from the energy of this conversation, and I know that you have the most beautiful angelic voice. And if there's any way you wanted to throw out just a few notes, because we're in an energy portal right here. And like you said, we are creating above and right here. So would you want to share that with us a little?
Sure. Yeah, okay. So let me have a second to think of a song. Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that'll make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough. And it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, beautiful. When there's vultures and thieves at my back, let me be empty. Oh, and weightless, and maybe find some peace tonight in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here in this dark cold hotel and the endlessness that you fear. And I'm torn from the rugged of your silent memories. In the arms of the angels, may you some comfort here.
That was so beautiful, and my daughter was here. She came in immediately. Wow.
Wow. She was definitely good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are an angel in human form. Beautiful, gorgeous Candace.
I'm grateful.
Ooh, I mean, there's so much happening in my body right now. That's embodiment right there.
Yeah.
Mm. My heart's beating. Like, that was just so beautiful. I just, woo. Okay. Get it together. Got it.
Thank you so much for letting me share this moment with you.
I'm still like, that was, I'm sure right now, as anyone out there is listening, they're probably feeling the emotion and the pull that I'm feeling right now. So much light. Yes, Candace. Okay, let's wrap up with the last question. So if you had a podcast, who would your dream guest be and why?
If I had a podcast, my dream guest would be my dream guest would be a singer by the name of Donny Hathaway. And he is not a physical being anymore, but he embodied so much soul and depth in his music that just still speaks to me. That is actually the singer who got me through my depression. Just the tone of his voice, I would love to just speak to him and hear whatever wisdom he would have to give. And I would just be a student. Yeah, that's who I would have.
Beautiful. I can't wait to check him out. My dream guest was you.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't know this because the podcast isn't out yet, but I did a van life podcast with the Adventuring Allens, Chris and Taylor. I don't know if you've seen them in the van life world, but you were my dream guest at the end of that show. Yeah. So here we are.
We manifested each other. This has literally been the best. It's not even an interview or a podcast. This was like a soul conversation, like our souls finally being able to have the conversation we've probably wanted to have for lifetimes. This has felt so natural. Like I felt like I'm at home with you for sure. So yeah.
I'm still crying from that song. Like it's going to be okay. So tonight's going to be my witchy bath. I'm going to probably play that song again since this is all recorded, and I am going to let it flow.
Because I know in this moment, you know, we had to continue, but it's still present. And mm-hmm. So you definitely deserve to go back and revisit that. And there may be a conversation that needs to happen with your daughter. She came. And actually my cousin passed away or transitioned in March, and he came. As I was doing it. So there's a conversation that I need to have after this as well.
Yeah, it did feel like there was so much energy. My body was just, I don't know if you saw me because my eyes were closed, but I was just, it was so much movement. In your voice, thank you so much for gracing us with such beauty and such presence and such light. Oh, Candace, tell people where they can find you, because when you say intentional growth, I feel it in my heart and I love it. Like I am cheering on your intentional growth every single day. So tell us where everyone can find you, because this is a light that while you're in this human form, you do not want to miss.
Thank you so much. So you can find me on Instagram at candys.love. That's candys.love. It's the same for TikTok, candys.love. It's the same for YouTube, candys.love. And my email is candys.love@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. I will have all those links below in the show notes.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really grateful to have finally come back in contact with you again.
Candace, oh my gosh, my heart is full and I am so excited to get this out to people and just out to the universe. Have such a beautiful evening and thank you again.
Thank you.
And with that, let's normalize the struggles, celebrate the quirks, and lean into the light. From myself and Beezus the Brave, happy Wild Heart Revolution, friends.
Yeah, you know, my van was originally for me to travel. And what I realized was it takes a lot of energy to travel in a van.
Yeah.
And to constantly be on the move. You know, I don't want to just be stationary in one space, which a lot of people are. I want to go to all the different places, and that takes all of my energy. So by the time I'm done exploring, I don't even want to look at the van.